Hi, this is Myles Dean Peter B, broadcasting from the Mobile Command Media Bunker at Porcupine Freedom Festival number 11 in Lancaster, New Hampshire, the birthplace of Gigi Allen, and we have discussed that, and it is important. If you end up at the hospital, if you get hurt here, you could go to the hospital he was born at, but it has to be something cool, like falling off a sink while urinating into a bathroom while you're on live radio, which I nearly did last night. I'm not planning on doing it again. We are joined by Davi Barker,
the shiny badger,
Diana Kyler,
the laughing kitty,
Nikki Darling,
the freedom master,
and Carl. Hey, Carl.
Hi.
I just wanted to have Carl on for 2 minutes really quick because I said I was going to have him on last night, and things got so clusterfarkish and psychedelic for some reason. I don't know what's the cause and what's the effect there, but it was very strange. If you were listening, you didn't hear it all because it did all go out because the internet, we broke the internet. It was so trippy we broke the internet. But Carl was going to be on last night. But Carl, where are you from and how far did you travel to get to Porkfest?
I'm from Mödling, Austria. And, well, it's about a 15-hour plane flight.
So are you an Austrian economist?
No.
Chicago school?
No. A Keynesian, probably.
Oh, wow. We got a Keynesian
really?
In the house.
He's pulling your leg, man.
Yeah.
Hey, I made up a name, a pretty cool name for silver that I want to spread as a meme if anyone wants to use it. I'm calling silver old people Bitcoin. I still like silver. I still use it. I still trade it. But it's kind of like old people Bitcoin.
We use silver to pay for something tonight.
Yeah? You're old. I'm kidding. You're old. Not your grand. That's your grandpa's Bitcoin, man. All right. But we like silver, and you can order it through Genesis Communications Network. You can go to the Freedom Fiend site and click on the link that says buy gold or silver. And it's a good stuff. It's a good investment. And it won't go away, and it's a good store of value, and it may go up, and it's lower now than it used to be. So, you know, Davi, didn't you the one that said, what did you say about when the price of silver goes down? Was that you?
It's on sale?
It's on sale. There you go. Don't panic. Just buy more.
I don't think I said that.
You don't? It no. seems like something you'd
it
say.
It seems like something that I'd say, but I was probably emulating Ernest Hancock if I said it.
So, Carl, how did you, what was your exposure to Liberty? How did you find out about Liberty?
Actually found out liberty by going to the army and slowly evolving towards anarchy, right?
the total state immersion pulls you back out of the state immersion. I've heard a lot of people do that. Seems like in America what happens a lot is going to the army turns people into like Ron Paul minarchists. And that's just the gateway drug to real cool voluntarist anarcho-capitalist. What are the other words you kids are using today? I don't even know.
I'm using bureauphobic today.
Ooh, I like that. Excellent.
I'm using propertarian.
Propertarian?
Yeah.
Cool.
Voluntarist.
Voluntarist. I say I'm a no-government man. That was actually a term in like the 1860s for some like political party that was actually kind of statist, but they didn't like the thing that was going on. It was a fourth party or something. It wasn't even a third party, and they called him the nickname for him was the no government men. And I think we should bring that one back. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. How long have you been listening to Freedom Fiends there?
About 3.5 years.
That's about how long we've been on doing the Freedom Fiends. Actually, I think we've been on about a month less than that, because I think you were listening. No, I'm kidding. We're on fence about right. So anything else you want to say on the radio to everyone in Cairo, Illinois, and Paducah, Kentucky, and the worldwide internet?
Well, I just want to say hi to my anarchist folks in Germany at freiwilligfrei.de.
Wow. Spell that.
That's freiwillig. F-R-I, whoops, no, that's an E-I, .de.
Okay, now spell it out in alphanumeric NATO alphabet. No, I'm kidding. It's really good to have you up here, man. Stay up here for the rest of the segment.
Thanks.
But Nikki, darling, how drunk are you? Get the mic up on her.
She's rolling on the floor drunk, apparently.
Well, we have a picture we took of her. She was drinking and playing Cards Against Humanity with about 27 people, and they were sharing a bottle of liquor that was like bigger than my torso. and she walked up here with it, and there was about a half inch left in it. It just kind of looked like she drank the whole thing. So we took a picture of it, and that's going to be the picture for the podcast episode of the show.
And if she ever runs for office.
Yeah, if you ever run for
office. Never, I would never run for office.
I'll sell it back. Hey, he is running for office, and he said on the radio he's tripping. So I think there's a new paradigm here.
Well, my boyfriend had edibles and alcohol.
You look pretty. Oh, man. Diana, how hammered are you?
I'm not hammered at all.
Cool. Are you going to laugh a lot?
I've been laughing, yeah. You guys are funny.
Laugh,
yeah.
I like it. You're funny.
She has a great laugh.
Yeah.
It's like constant.
Davi, how hammered are you?
I am.
He just took off his wedding ring. That's how hammered he is.
I am. I fidget with it, man. I am forever the soberest guy in the room.
I'm taking my wedding ring off.
You're what? You're the soberest guy?
I'm the soberest guy in the room.
I think I'm the soberest guy in the room because I think I've been sober longer than you.
That's true. You've got 20 years. I've got 10. So,
yeah. Davi is high on sleep deprivation.
That's not true. I slept for like a whole like 4 hours.
Hey, Davi, I want to give you your 10-year sober chip. It says gunsandweed.com on it. Hold it up to the microphone so the people playing the home.
All right,
all you
out there in the listening audience, you're going to have to squint because I'm going to hold this pin up to the microphone. You're going to read it.
Put your hands on the radios, brothers and sisters. Feel the healing power.
We're fiend healers.
I actually heard like an evangelist say that when I was like 10 and just channel flipping. It was a guy who's telling you to put your hands on the TV.
I did that. Do you remember Smell-O-Vision in like the 80s? It was a commercial that like was like for
John
Fruit Loops
Waters.
Or something. And what?
John Waters.
No, not John Waters. It was a commercial like on television that was like, we're selling you this weird fruit fake purple candy thing and you can smell it. If you just, you know.
Scratch the screen.
Yeah.
You have faith.
Was it based on a John Waters movie? Are you serious?
Yeah,
I think it was.
I was a little kid and too young to have heard of John Waters.
I'm from Maryland, I know.
It was a viral marketing thing for John Waters before the internet. Yeah. Yeah, she's from Maryland. I think he's the governor, isn't he now?
No, he should be, though.
He should be. I think more people like him than like any politician.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Although, do people feel like he insults Baltimore, or do they really, like,
no,
so white trash they dig
it? He's all about Baltimore. Like, hey, hon.
Yeah. You know the lady with the big mustache that's in several of his movies?
Divine?
No. One of the kind of bit players. She's in the movie. Have you seen the one where they kidnap a starlet and at gunpoint? They're anarchists and they kidnap the other kind of anarchists. And they
is that Pink Flamingos?
No, man. It's called God. What is it?
All the movies.
I can't remember.
Pecker?
What no.
I'm like
what's
naming all his movies.
Yeah, it's called Guns and Well, it inspired Guns and Weed. No, they kidnap some movie star lady and force her to act in a, you know, anarchist movie. And it's all kind of like guerrilla
filmmaking.
That
was Mink Stole.
Was it?
Yeah.
No, not, she's a famous, that's a drag queen. Isn't
no,
it?
Mink no. Stole was.
Divine is the drag queen.
Yeah, Divine is the drag queen.
Okay.
Mink Stole
I was just
going to
say I hung out with the lady with the mustache. She actually owns a cafe in San Francisco called The Bearded Lady, and it's not Mink Stole. I know who Mink Stole is.
Oh,
but no.
Okay.
It's the bearded lady who is a bearded lady who owns the bearded lady.
Edith.
Maybe. Sounds about
her
right.
Her name is Edith. She ate the eggs.
No, not the big fat lady. No, the skinny lesbian lady, man. How drunk are you?
Pretty drunk.
You don't seem that drunk.
She seems very knowledgeable
I'm
about
just
this
working.
Subject.
I'm
knowledgeable about Baltimore. Whoop-de-doo.
Crabs. Baltimore has crabs.
I'm allergic to crabs.
They're delicious.
So, Diana, how did you get here?
I drove. Well, actually, I didn't drive. I was a passenger.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about your trip.
Came from North Carolina, drove up to Montreal. Then to a little town called Sorel, and then to Quebec City, and then to here.
Have you ever,
like lots of driving.
Interesting. Have you ever killed a man?
Not on purpose.
Davi. Davi told me a story today, and I said, that was a good story.
Just no, one?
I said, yeah, save that one for the show, because we didn't have Google or anything to show.
I completely forgot what I was supposed to say right now.
Tell us
a story. It was about making Bart stuff in the Bart.
Making Bart stuff. This is sort of like, I don't know, like lampooning state
memeing.
Propaganda
it was
or something.
Memeing
it was,
before
it was memeing before memeing was digital. And so like in every town, but you get on a bus and there's those maps that are like right behind the driver in this like plexiglass case. And we were VTA, right, which was Valley Transit Authority. And so I took one, I scanned it, and I completely redesigned it. And so I came up with other organizations that it might stand for, like the Vikings for a Totalitarian America.
Which I said would be a really good name for like a white power,
white supremacist metal band.
Wisconsin.
Yeah, and the other one was the Vehicular Taoist Association. So they looked exactly like the maps from the front, so anybody might get on the bus and grab one, but they were full of all kinds of weird, like, surrealist articles, so they had something interesting to read while they were sitting on the bus. But here's the thing, like, so I used to like, get on the bus, restock all the maps, and then get off the bus, and then wait for the next bus, and get on the bus, and restock all the maps, and literally, like, within a month of me doing this, on a semi-regular basis, the entire department went from black and white to color. I take credit for that.
I take credit for that waste.
I think that they did that specifically to price me out of this particular prank.
Yeah. Do you know about Adbusters? It kind of sounds
I love Adbusters. If I was ever to apply for a job, they're too commie now. But
yeah, they were always commie. They were San Francisco. It was all.
I mean, too commie for me now. At the time when I was reading them, I was a commie, and they weren't too commie for me.
You changed.
I changed.
Changed, brother.
It's not me. It's them.
You used to be cool. You've changed.
I have.
Yeah. Adbusters was a San Francisco ad hoc, like, anonymous before there was the group.
They're responsible for the Occupy movement, you know?
Are they?
Yeah, they're the ones who like coined like Occupy Wall Street and like call to action. Yeah, exactly.
They were all people that worked as graphic artists and copywriters.
It's phenomenal graphic design. Don't read anything, but look at the pictures. Seriously.
But they have a magazine, they have a website. A website on the World Wide Web.
It's, you know what they were the first person to do? They were the first magazine to feature a bullet hole through the magazine.
Mm.
Like, there's a hole drilled through the magazine that, like, would go through politicians and would go through logos. Like, it was so excellent.
That sounds like a
drawing. I think they influenced you in some way.
Your
own thing, and you're totally cool, but they didn't influence you?
No, they absolutely did.
Let me explain what Adbusters is before we, like, lose the plot here. Adbusters is a San Francisco long-running organization. Is made of people who work in the day in ad agencies, and they were mostly anarcho-syndicalist, and they would make like culture forking kind of things. In Fight Club, there's a parody of them or a reference to them when Bob gets shot and they're changing that billboard to say the EPA says you can use oil to fertilize your lawn. That's the kind of thing Adbusters do. We'll be back with more after this trip to the freak market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Live from a windowed bunker in New Hampshire. And we have the cuss dump has to build because that's how radio works. We're looking for a clock. We don't have a clock. I'm smelling something that smells like, I don't know what it is.
It smells like my old cologne.
It smells like my old art teacher in high school. I don't know what it is, but it is here, and we do smell it. It's porcupines. That's what we smell. We smell burning porcupines. They ignite spontaneously in the woods here when it rains too much all day, which you did today. So that is the smell, you listeners at home on the radio who have the Smell-O-Vision plug-in on your computer. We do have someone with a superpower here. What is your name, sir?
My name is Rob, the pyromaniacal libertarian.
What do you burn?
Everything. I burn my stuff where the state can take it.
Well, there's a pyro, and then what's the other thing? One of them likes to start fires, and the other just likes to watch fires.
Yeah, that's me. I just like to watch things burn. It's kind of fun.
Are you a scary person?
No.
Oh, okay. You don't burn things like houses people are sleeping in?
No, just like garbage. And,
do you burn garbage here?
Yeah. The fire pit at their campsite is full of garbage.
Christmas trees on fire when people throw them out on the street.
No, just after Christmas.
Do you get sexual pleasure from it?
No, that's... Is that a thing?
It's a type of pyromania.
I think that would be pyrophilia, right?
I don't know. That sounds kind of weird, but okay.
Okay, but that's not your magical power. I mean, your superpower.
No.
What is your superpower?
I can kind of like taste silver and see if it's real or fake.
Okay. We're going to do a test here. Okay, close
it's
your
in
eyes.
Plastic.
I'm not going to put anything nasty in your mouth, but close your eyes and have him... Have him taste the edge of this.
Well, you guys, there's got to be a control group. You can't just hand him a piece of silver and say, "Hey, is this a piece of silver?" Like,
okay, well,
no, handed it to him. He can feel.
This is a button. Come on, that isn't even a coin.
So here's the thing, guys. I've got a silver dime from Don't Tread on Meme. If somebody's got a real dime, we could do this like straight up blind taste test.
Anyone got an actual...
And we need scissors or something to open this. Or
I've got a knife. Who's got a knife?
She's got a knife.
I've got a knife.
You got a knife?
He's got a knife.
That's a knife.
Scissors.
You see who's got a knife in a room full of libertarians and like they start throwing them at you.
Hey, he's got scissors.
You should have asked who doesn't have a knife.
Open that up for me.
Yeah, we don't need the assault.
We're all set, guys. The market demand for knives has expired.
Knives have reached the price of zero up here, but you know it's probably not. And this is a teaching hospital, so we want to say it's not a good idea in radio to invite people or encourage them with what you say. To throw unsheathed knives onto all your cables that are running your radio show up here.
So does anybody have a post 65 dime?
Anybody got one of those fake dimes?
Anybody?
Fake.
Bueller.
Bueller.
So
anyway, tell me more about your, while we get the necessary tools to test your superpower, tell me more, how long have you known this and how did you discover it?
A couple years. Always had like, when I was younger, I used to like see people like bite them in old cartoons and stuff and figured, why do they do that? Just kind of did it once and knows, oh, this kind of tastes like crap. And it was like a quarter or something. Yeah. And then when I did that with silver, I was like, oh, this tastes okay.
I totally believe it.
And I just kind of keep testing it. Every
I can taste the difference between tin foil and aluminum foil.
Well, because that's pretty cool.
Right? I think.
If we have a pretty drunk girl, put one of these in your mouth while your eyes are closed. You're not going to bite her.
Wait, did you say, am I drunk? When that happens, what?
No, what we're gonna do is we're gonna ask you to close your eyes and stick out your tongue and let a woman put something in your mouth.
This is not. I want to say this is not.
Okay, I guess.
I'm not doing some kind of kink thing here where I'm getting a pleasure out of telling a woman to stick something in another man's mouth. There's just the closest person sitting next to you is a pretty woman who's drunk.
Is this like a toonie slide?
A what? It's like a dare, man.
Do you know what a toonie slide is? You're from Canada.
A toonie slide?
Can we say that on radio?
Oh, well, a toonie slide, sure, but I can't describe it to you.
Don't. Okay. Are you willing, sir? Are you willing?
Yeah, that's fine. Job? I'll try it. I've never done it on the radio, but okay, let's go.
We're going to have somebody put...
What I've got in my hand is a dime that is pre-65 or pre-64, and another that is post. So I'm going to give them to her, and she's going to pick one at random and put it in your mouth, and then you're going to tell us the year of the dime.
But
okay, that'll work well.
However, don't tell him whether he's right or wrong until he's done both.
Oh, I don't. Because either way,
you don't know what you're doing.
Either one of those. What? You can give him either one of these.
Oh. Are you ready, sir?
Are you ready? Yeah.
Close your eyes, please. All right. Drum roll.
Okay. Don't swallow.
This is just a way he's going to get 20 cents and then poop it out tomorrow.
Hey, that's not 20 cents, dude.
That is
$2.50 worth of silver right there in that dime.
There is number
two. Great. We'll do them both and we'll tell you the results.
Yeah.
We'll tabulate the results with our IBM computer that fills an entire room and come back with the results.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Guns and Weed, Buy Sheep for Sheep on Sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
Hey, this is Squisscar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now. So there you go.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
We woke up last night. It turns out they didn't mind the windows being open that we were talking and doing a show. They all said, like, yeah, like every 15 minutes I'd hear y'all yell something together. That's what was waking them up. But we shut the windows tonight. Because
so it's your fault.
We respect property rights.
I guess that's me.
Sort of. Although you and I squatted tonight. And homesteaded. We were walking. It was raining.
We found an abandoned canopy with some tables and chairs in it.
The people had gone away.
That's the definition of abandoned.
There's really like no valuable property in it. There wasn't merchandise in it. There were a bunch of like empty Coke and beer cans and stuff. And but in, you know, camping chairs. And we sat down in it for a while. That's reminding me of that scene in that movie where he holds up the boombox. Somebody is holding up an iPad with a picture of...
Say anything.
That's it. I will say anything because Nima Dadi's not here, but let's call him. Can we call people?
Wake him up.
He's out having babies instead of doing radio, but someone's holding up a picture of Nima Vidati where someone has photoshopped a pink bow on his head, and it's pretty awesome and beautiful.
Take that, Nima.
So we made up a couple of names. On the Freedom Fiends, we have animal names. It's usually a noun, an adjective, and then an animal name. We got one for Ian Freeman. He's walking out the door, but before he does, we should tell his name. He is the Flashback Ferret. That's your Freedom Fiends radio name. All right, so we are talking to, and we have a guest on who has a magical power, allegedly, that we're testing.
I never claim magic.
You said, superpower.
I think this guy is full of...
You can't say that.
Silver?
Right. Full of silver. So, but we have a name for him, too. If he's successful with this, he has earned the Freedom Fiends name, the Silver Scrutinizer. All right, are we going to do the test? We're going to the break. We got time right now. Let's do the test. Have the pretty girl who's drunk... He thought I meant the pretty drunk girl, like she's kind of drunk. No, she's pretty and she's drunk. She's heavily drunk.
Okay, in my left hand.
She doesn't seem too bad.
All right, close your eyes. Close your eyes, please, scrutinize her.
You gotta close your eyes.
Okay, Vanna White, the anarchist Vanna White, will now come out.
Stick that tongue out, baby.
Don't swallow.
What did that taste like to you?
Post or pre? Is that silver or not?
It tastes like someone's dirty pocket.
Okay.
Doesn't most pocket change taste like a dirty pocket?
Not mine.
Okay.
Vanna White, please spin the big board.
Hmm.
That tastes like freedom.
All right. Do you have a determination?
Yeah, I think the first one was real, and the second one was like a regular dime to, you know, normal, okay, like regular people.
Was he correct?
Holy moly.
Was he correct?
He's correct.
All right.
Yeah.
And you win a prize.
Yeah.
You win a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons.
Sweet. I have a double set now.
You can keep whichever one of those. You can keep them. You can keep both of those dimes. That was mine, but he can have it. No, I don't want it. It's okay. He can have it.
It's in my mouth. I don't think he wants it back.
So this is pretty awesome. Dobby Barker.
This crappy fiat.
Dobby, I was going to say, Dobby Barker just did something really generous. He gave this guy $2 and then gave away someone else's 10 cents.
That's a good
point. Dobby.
10 cents has been returned to the property. You know all those stupid stories about Abe Lincoln walking barefoot uphill both ways through the snow to return 6 cents?
My grandpa did that.
Did he?
He claimed to.
Let's hear about that.
Oh, my God. That's
Kitty, everyone. Anna Tyler.
Meow. That's a typical old person story. They always tell that story walked.
You use Bitcoin, so isn't that old people or use silver? That's old people Bitcoin, so tell an old people story.
It's an old person story. All old people say, "When I was your age, I walked both ways uphill to school in the snow with bare feet." They always say that.
Bare feet.
Yeah, but you can't walk uphill both ways. That's the joke.
I know. But yeah.
Do they actually say that part? My dad never said that
part. You know, this expression is why I took an interest in M.C. Escher.
Because he can walk. In Escher, you can walk uphill both ways.
No, I'm serious. Like, my stepdad used to tell me this, and I didn't get it. Like, in my mind, I kept thinking, like, what would that look like? How does that work?
The world of M.C. Escher.
And then you got into eighth grade and opened your geometry book, and there was an Escher picture. Was there? I had that. Okay, so tell me more about Grandpa. Grandpa Kyler.
He was Jewish.
Is there more to the story?
Not really.
Okay. Shalom.
Rock and roll, man. So, you're Jewish. We got a couple Muslims here. We're going to have a debate. You ready?
Is it what's the topic? Is it peanut butter versus jelly?
I want to hear about the redneck Muslim organization.
Can we get
Where's Will? Will, right, come up here.
A big hand for the silver scrutinizer, everybody. Even know what to ask this guy because I just wind him up and watch him go. I don't
Will
even
is so him. Awesome.
He is awesome.
I got to hold his kid earlier.
Yeah, his kid told me today, he said, he walked up to me, met me, and he said, "I'm 5, I'm older than you."
He said that to me too.
he followed it up with something, but I didn't hear it, and somebody said something. Well, why?
Because all 4-year-olds are older than grown-ups.
Why? I'm going to play a 4-year-old here. Why?
Because that's what he's decided. I've asked that same question.
Why? Why?
Because I was a crazy person when I was a kid, too, and I guess he just takes after his old man.
Will Coley needs no introduction, but anybody want to introduce him? You want to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Will Coley. I'm the National Director of Muslims for Liberty, and I also host the Call of the Rebel radio show on Voluntary Virtues Network. And as Mike alluded to,
Michael.
Thank sorry.
You. Thanks, thanks, Billiam.
Billiam.
Okay, now that I don't like.
for anybody in Cairo, Illinois. Or Paducah, Kentucky's, who's listening and being like, "Where? What? There's a Muslim on my right wing radio? What is this guy? You can't see him. Looks like the guy you'd buy moonshine from and go fishing and hunting with." And Kentucky is kind of the top edge of Appalachia, huh?
Well, actually, this is the top edge of Appalachia, technically.
Okay, but tell me about the Rednecks for Muslim Liberty and the splinter groups, Muslims for Redneck Liberty.
Well, actually, it was the Society of Islamic Rednecks. So it was something that was started by a friend of mine named Omar Dunlap, basically just as a way to teach for other people who are of the Muslim faith, who are converts, who come from the South or from Appalachia, that that way they have the ability to kind of speak to other people who have been through the same things that they're going through, so that, you know, they have someone to relate to that's been like, you know, well, this is happening at holiday time, or that, you know, my family's got a hog farm, you know, what do I do?
How many people are in this organization?
Well, ISR, I think, has, like, I don't know about...
ISR, that sounds so official.
Right. Has, like, 200 and some odd members, but I actually...
Wait a minute. There are 200 some odd Muslim rednecks that have the time to participate in this organization?
Well, actually, that's the one that he brought to me. I actually created another, like, a little Facebook group, I guess you could say, that was just the Muslim Redneck Association. And basically, it was a place...
The MRA.
Yeah, exactly. The MRA. I thought that was pretty cool. You know,
you guys are really breaking down conceptions here for me. I think you should work with him. I don't know if this
we already
I
don't do. Know,
maybe we should no, like form an
I don't
organization.
Know if this is a good idea,
right? You think we should like run an organization together?
Yeah, can I be like the assistant director of?
Right. Okay, here's my idea. Here's my idea. I think this is a really bad idea. Okay. But I think
I'm all over bad ideas.
I think the Muslims for the Muslim Redneck Group should make T-shirts with your motto on it: "Kill the precedent."
Oh man.
Oh my goodness, we could take the Confederate ANCAP flag.
With well, I've been thinking so. On it that here's I've the got. Thing. Here's the thing about.
Oh no, I have a Muslim redneck flag. It's a black and yellow Confederate flag the stars and bars are outlined in seafoam green, and it has an AR-15 with a snake coiled around it on one side. It says vigilance, and then it has the name of Allah in Arabic on the other side. It says conscience.
Heads are exploding in Paducah, Kentucky.
And my wife, who's from Africa, actually did the artwork for me because I had the idea, but Davi can attest to this. I'm horrible with artwork.
Right. So not many people know this. Like, people have been seeing this shirt all over Porkfest because this is when we launched it. It says Rebel, and it has like the Bitcoin B instead of the thing. And that's actually the logo, or at least the first usage of that symbol is Call of the Rebel, which is Will Cooley's show.
Basically, you know, a redneck Muslim anarchist.
Some redneck Muslim anarchist
pissing and moaning about
shirt.
What the government does. playing bluegrass.
Are there enough of you that you could have a nightly call-in radio show? I mean, I guess you could anyway, because it's the internet. It's not broadcasting so much anymore as narrowcasting, and that's one of the things the internet did was, you know, it used to be to do radio, you had to have a broad appeal to millions of people, because otherwise it's wasting a narrow amount of bandwidth. But with the internet, everybody can have their own channel. It's kind of like, you know, they said, Andy Warhol said, in the future, everyone will be famous for 15 minutes, and that kind of foretold some really stupid stuff like Facebook, like, I got more friends than you. I've never met them and they're not my friends. But it also foretold really cool things, I think, like the lowering the price to zero of bandwidth to where anybody could do a show. Now, if someone had that show and someone called in and said, yeah, I'm a hog farmer and I've become a Muslim, what are they? Can they sell their hogs? What do they do?
No, you'd have to get.
Kill them?
Wow.
Feed them until they die of natural causes.
I think you got it. So maybe we'll argue about this, but...
I want to see this. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm going to make popcorn.
Okay. So I kind of... I'm of the opinion that you don't tell a convert to do anything. That they're making a difficult transition. Yeah. They've made a very sincere choice, and you have to sort of let them choose their level of involvement, kind of like Fight Club.
Yeah.
And so...
Yeah, actually, I agree with Davi because I've seen converts that got in and decided to do things that were, because the Arab guy that sits next to them in the masjid told them to, rather than because it was something that it ends up burning them out or it changes their ability to stay with
them. Or they like burn bridges with their family because someone told them to do something stupid.
It takes years to repair the damage that sometimes is done to families.
And this is not a Muslim problem. This is a convert problem.
Yeah,
right?
It's like, a convert problem. I mean, I can attest to that too because I went into AA to get sober and there's a lot of similarities. Well, not between Islam and AA, but between...
There's a lot of similarities between Islam and AA, man. I didn't go to AA until I became Muslim, and there, you know, it was very similar.
It's got rules.
It's got some
spirituality, and it's...
No drinking, for one thing.
I mean, like, the principles that they teach in AA are, like, something that I found in Islam. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but there's a lot of that, too, where there's people who, like, kind of stray from the purpose of it and become book thumpers, and I guess, like, old, you know, like, kind of conservative... if you're not doing it my way, you're doing it the wrong way. And, you know, they're sober for 40 years, but nobody wants to be in a room with them. Those people exist, you know?
Yeah.
And you're talking about that in Islam.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But the problem is those people become that person, like, a week after they convert.
Yeah.
Because they're trying so hard. You know, I went through it myself.
We'll be back in a few minutes after we go sell some shiny silver badges on the Freedom Fiends.
Listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Michael Dean, Freedom Fiends, broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowed bunker in New Hampshire. And we were talking to Mr. Will Cooley about being a Muslim redneck. And yeah, you heard that right, Paducah. Good evening, Paducah! We got some interesting characters for us here tonight on
NPR's All Things Considered.
I wanted to tell a quick story. I told you this before. You told me a similar story, sort of. Mine was that it's a nice story about my mother, and she's dead now. She's a cool lady. She's kind of weird, but in a cool way. And she's really creative, but kind of gave up wanting to be an artist to raise a family. She was in a very traditional marriage, traditional woman, conservative in every way that describes. Before I was born, my parents were Baptist. My family was Baptist. They went to the Baptist church often. And one time they met my sister, who was about 5 at the time, missed 4 Sundays in a row because of some school thing. And when she came back, the preacher took her aside and said, "You know what happens to little girls who miss Sunday school? They go to hell and burn in a lake of fire." And my mother got up in the guy's grill, into the holy man's grill, and said, "Jesus loves the little children. That is no way to talk to a child. We are leaving your church, and we're not going to be Baptists anymore." And the next day, or the next Sunday, they were Presbyterians. And I think that's a really cool story, because in the 60s, it was a lot for a woman, you know, societally, for a woman to stand up to a man of power. What's your button say?
The speaking truth to power button?
Yeah.
It says, "The emperor wears no clothes."
Yeah. I think that you can give me one, and I'll, put it in her memory. And I think this next story, he's gonna earn one for this story. Go ahead and tell the story, your story of that.
Oh, yeah. Well, like, I grew up, in Appalachia, so that your choice is pretty much you're either a Baptist or Pentecostal. So, you know, and
they hate each other.
Yeah, they do. They really hate each other.
Christians
so,
hate each other.
Yeah, yeah. I was lucky enough to have a biological mother who was Pentecostal, and not just regular Pentecostal. I'm talking like one step down from snake handling Pentecostal. Like, we didn't have snakes in the church. There was no snake handling in the church, but everything, like no cutting the hair, no jewelry, like they were really, really strict.
They were doing snake handling in the parking lot after service.
Yeah, yeah. Horse handling, actually. and my adopted parents were Baptist, Southern Baptist, like the Southern Baptist that if you're not also Southern Baptist, you're going to hell. Like other Baptists are going to hell. Yeah, they only drink at home. Where people can't see. Sort of like Muslims. Oh, that's horrible.
Well, there's a lot of Saudi princes who like to go to Europe and get hammered and hoard up.
So. Yeah, yeah. Well, we go to this church. We move to Florida and in Fort McCoy, out in the middle of nowhere in this Ocala National Forest, and we go to this Fort McCoy Baptist Church. And, I'd been working in the ministry in a Pentecostal church up to like I was like 14. So I know my Bible front and back, and if they pull the Bible out, I'm like flipping it open and I'm reading along. And the pastor's reading, and he changed a word.
Oh.
And it took something, and it made it like, I don't exactly remember if it was like from yes to no, or if it was changing it to like something that was solid to something that there was like doubt in
wiggle
it.
Room.
Yeah. And I stood up right away and called him out on it, like right in the middle of the service. I didn't wait till after, you know, like you're supposed to, and be I was a teenager from a Pentecostal church. I didn't know that you weren't supposed to stand up in the middle of a sermon and make noise. You know, you're just supposed to sit there with your hands and you lap and be quiet. Well, the ushers came and asked us to leave because I read the verse out loud in the church, and I guess the preacher didn't like that too much. Well, we got in the car, my mom looked at me, and she was like, you know, she was embarrassed, and I can't believe you did that. And my dad turned to look at her, and you hush your mouth, you leave that boy alone. He did exactly what he was supposed to. I'm proud of you, boy. That's what you do. But you let that man do. So my mom was completely embarrassed, though. She was totally like, oh, you know how Southern women are, you know, like, yeah,
they get
that whole thing where they just exactly. So yeah, and my dad was just like, you hush, you leave him alone, ain't nothing wrong with that boy. I'm glad you did what you did. If it ever happens again, you do it again.
Excellent. Yay, dad. Woo! Yay. Woo!
And he drops the mic. Man.
He drops the mic, and he is out. That reminds me of a joke my mother used to tell. Guy dies and goes to heaven. St. Peter's giving him the tour. They go by this one room. You hear people yelling, bingo! He said, oh, that's the Catholics. Goes to the next. Goes by the next room. You hear a clinking of cocktail glasses. You're like, oh, that's the Presbyterians. Go to the next room. There's a black curtain drawn over it, and St. Peter says, shh. That's the Baptists. They think they're the only ones up here.
I know a joke kind of like that. It's a guy, he's a seeker, and he's traveling the world. And so he goes to the Catholic Church or the Vatican. He looks, and there's this giant gold phone, and it says $1,000 a minute. He's like, what is this gold phone? He said, well, it's a direct line to God. You know, that's why it's so expensive. And he's like, wow, that's really interesting. And then he goes to a temple in India. Sure enough, there's a gold phone, direct line to God. He goes to a mosque in Mecca, and sure enough, gold phone, direct line to God, $1,000 a minute, or, you know, dinar or whatever. And then he goes to Salt Lake City, and he sees the gold phone. He's like, I know what that is. That's a direct line to God. He's like, that's right, and it's only 10 cents a minute. He's like, why is it so cheap here if it's so expensive everywhere else? He says, because it's a local call.
That's awesome. And that's an old person joke, because calls used to cost different.
Yeah, that joke doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, that kind of reminded me of, like, Mark Edge talking about, is it ethical to use force, you know, if it's over property? No, I don't think so. You don't shoot somebody for stealing your color TV. And I'm sitting home listening to LRN in Wyoming and going, color TV? Grandpa! All TVs are color now, Grandpa! Yeah, so we got a little guest here. I got a little guest here. We got Robert. Is that correct?
Yep. How you doing?
And he's going to tell us about a problem solving or analysis method called, is it Trivium or the Trivium?
Well, it's the Trivium method.
All right. Give it up, brother.
Well, it's real simple. To give you the most short synopsis of it, it's grammar, logic, and rhetoric. You define the terms in which you are going to be discussing. You remove all the inherent contradictions from those terms that you have set up, and then you wisely express that in the real world or in communication with someone else.
That's amazing, but that kind of sounds like every logical method of problem solving I've ever heard. What's different about this?
Well, this was a set in stone in ancient Greece and Rome, and Aristotle.
It's got a cool name.
Well, the name means three roads meeting as one.
Yeah.
And
sort of like right out here.
Kind of like right out there, you know, near our tent. But the idea behind it is if you use this method. Each and every time you will always reach logical and sound conclusions. If you always make sure that you define the terms in which you are discussing, asking the who, what, where, and when of a subject, and then removing all inherent contradictions of that subject, the why of a subject, and then wisely expressing it and making it into the real world, then you will have the how of a subject. And I think that most critical thinkers use this either knowingly or unknowingly. The reason I bring it up is I think that if we start expressing these ideas to those who are uninitiated, if you will, then they will enlighten themselves, and we won't have, as in Plato's cave, we won't have to drag them kicking and screaming into the light. They can walk out with a torch in their hand. And
you're talking about teaching people how to think instead of what to think.
Absolutely.
I saw Larkin Rose sitting. He looked a lot like Plato. He was sitting in front of a big rock with a bunch of people gathered around him.
He was like the old man on the mountain.
Really talking much. He was just kind of facilitating it. It reminded me of Platonic method of Socratic method of teaching.
Yeah, and asking questions constantly. Yeah. But one thing that we have to remember is these people also believed in the great chain of being, which is the idea that there was God, then there was angels and demons, then there was kings, then there was noblemen, then there was the common man, then the wild animals, domesticated animals, and so forth. And they decided that this Trivium method of thinking way back in the time of Rome was not for the common man.
That's a problem. I have a lot of problem with Plato and Socrates. They're brilliant. They came up with a lot of good stuff that's still in use today. You know, you kind of look like you could be my cousin. I'm looking at you like, kind of half through these mics. And it looks like a mirror of me when I'm younger, but, you know, I think, are we related?
It's possible.
Yeah. A problem
this I have, is America.
You know, other than that they slept with little boys, which is kind of a cheap shot. It's like saying, oh, priests are all pedophiles or whatever. But, you know, yeah. Let's put that aside. those guys were really statist in, I don't know if statist is even the word, but kind of like they thought they were better than everyone else and that the world should be led by the wise men who were smarter and learned. It is kind of the basis of the kind of democracy America has of, you know, you're not smart enough to rule, so you're going to vote, but you're smart enough to vote for the right guy to rule you. You know, representational democracy kind of has a direct lineage to the elitist kind of mentality that those guys had.
Well, it's funny that you use democracy as the example, because democracy comes from the word demokitos, which means the government of the common man. But that word has its root word in demos, which means district or being separate. And then that root word comes from da, which means to divide. So when you look at, and of course, ocracy means the power to, right? So when you look at the etymology,
the power to divide people, that doesn't sound exactly like the system we have now.
Well, I mean, that's where democracy finds its roots.
It's not perfect, but it's the best system we got.
And it's funny because when you look at the meaning of the word in its original form, it describes perfectly what you see today. Right. You know, you see this system where they divide the left, you're left, you're right, you're Republican, you're liberal, you're conservative, you know, and they separate it. And then we're arguing over these.
No, I'm not.
Well, those and them, the infamous those and them people tell us that.
With a capital T.
Yeah, yeah, you got to capitalize it or it doesn't mean
anything.
And
the royal we, you know, the royal we of, in Austin Powers, it said really well of, when I say we, I mean me. That's democracy, man.
Yeah.
Who came up with the lie? You know, there's a lot of things that are repeated that aren't true, and to the point where they're just rotely said as fact. And one of the really common ones, I'm wondering who and when the phrase was coined democracy it's not perfect, but it's the best system of government possible.
And it's Churchill, isn't it?
Is it?
Churchill is the oh man, I'm not going to remember what it is. The best of all, the worst of all governments, but the best that we have left, or something.
We'll be back.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Meowbits. You can go to meowbit.com. He and I run a software company together. It's highly successful in that we made what we were going to do and then people downloaded it.
The software works.
It's very. It was a success, yeah. I blame society, man.
They weren't ready for Meowbit.
They weren't ready for Meowbit. No, not at all. But you did a really good job, man. I really dug it. I dug working with you, too. I really like doing... I don't like being in organizations. I don't like bureaucracy. I like doing ad hoc things that are really intense with one or two or three or 10 or 11 people for an intense period of time, and then it's done, and it's out there, and then we go our separate ways, and if we like working with each other, we come back. I like that so much more. It's the opposite of a brick-and-mortar office where you go every day until you die and they give you gold watch after you die.
Yeah, it was an intense development experience, yeah. You set some deadlines and we were up till 3 or 4, well, you're up all night anyway, but we're up till 3 or 4 in the morning all week working on it, and we pushed it out pretty fast.
We lost sleep, man.
Yeah.
There's a picture of you without sleep for 3 days where you look pretty sweaty. And you're holding up a raspberry pie.
Yeah, I wasn't qualified at the time to approve that meme to be published on the internet. I was too tired.
So you're saying that your consent was not valid because you were intoxicated on a lack of sleep?
Yeah.
The contract wasn't binding?
I forgive myself.
I can't take it back, man. Putting something on the internet is, trying to get someone off the internet, I've heard, is like trying to take pee out of a pool with a teaspoon.
It doesn't happen. Yeah.
So you're a hacktivist. Well, first of all...
Am I?
I say I have decreed it, sir. I am the Libertarian Central Planner. So I have named you.
Thank you, Michael.
The hacktivist. Well, you've called yourself a hacktivist, haven't you?
Yep. I haven't used that word.
But you're in a hacker's club.
Yeah, main hacker club, yeah.
And you like activism. You've done some activism.
Yeah, I kind of like to think of it as software activism, but not a full-time software activist. But, you know, when
you're
I have the time
man.
And see something I can do, I think it's good to
you're
do
a
it.
Full-time so. Family man.
Yeah, when I'm not working on me, I'll bet.
for the four months you worked on it in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So you have a vehicle here that's pretty special. What is it?
Michael said my vehicle was special.
I said it was special. In a good way, not like special bus way, but yeah, it's an ambulance that you have retrofitted to. We're not really sure what it's going to be yet. It may be multi-use, but it's developing and evolving, and it has more electronics in it than the other 1,000 people at Porkfest have altogether.
And it has places to plug other electronics in. So the idea is for it to be modular so that it can be outfitted for different purposes. And we've been looking for ideas for what those purposes might be.
And looking for a name.
Yeah, J-Rev Radio. We just had Rob on
from J-Rev Radio. What is their URL?
J-Revs or the vehicle's URL?
The guy who was just on here right before.
JournalisticRevolution.com.
JournalisticRevolution.com. Yeah. Thank you.
We met them kind of by chance, by good luck on Saturday night. They came up and saw the vehicle and said, wow, this is neat. And I think Rob immediately got it, you know, what we were trying to do. And
Rob from JournalisticRevolution.com.
Yeah, and it's J-Rev Radio. I'll let him sell his own stuff, I guess. But he got it, and he was interested in doing some strength.
For those of you playing the home game without the video feed of the Freedom Fiends, we are.
I'll go over here if you want.
I was motioning for Nikki Darling to put the mic more in front of Derek's mouth, and she pushed it about 4 inches past it. It was
Nikki.
Worse.
How much have you had to drink?
She's a pretty drunk girl.
I'm good.
At least you didn't snort like Diana.
Oh, no, she did.
Oh, she did? That was her.
They're sharing a mic, so.
Okay, so we're thinking of names for this thing. Dobby came up with a pretty good one.
I called it the Emergency Response Studio.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, I do like that. Yeah.
I think it could be called Airworm One, which is the name of the fictitious blimp that I claim to do this show from when I'm really in my bedroom.
I've heard so many good ideas that I think it can have lots of names.
It could. You could have them, like, one side. You could paint one on one side and one on the other.
In dry erase.
In dry erase.
Yeah, it's white, and we found that we could use dry erase.
Wow, has anybody produced, like... a large-scale dry erase marker. Like, I've never seen a dry erase marker that was like made with a sponge on the end of it.
Oh, that's
good.
Yeah, we were just thinking of getting many, many, many small dry erase markers.
No, I got to engineer like a super marker.
Well, that chalk that they use for chalking in Keene, I'd heard about the chalking for years, and I finally saw a video of them doing it. I think they've gotten better chalk. It's a salt chalk. I mean, this chalk is like as big as a baby's arm, each picture of this color, each piece of this colored chalk.
Can you see it from space?
Yeah, you can see it from space, actually. Speaking of aerial photography, we'll do a little bit on that when we come back with Derek Slopey. On the Freedom Fiends.
Worms.
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 Worms. Worms. All together now, please.
Worms.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows. Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
There's a 2 second break. The reason there's a 2 second break there is GCN found that not every radio station has a perfect atomic clock system. It used to be 1 second, but it lines up better, supposedly, with a 2 second break there. It doesn't. I listen to it on a bunch of different stations. I've talked to George. Is George there? Hey, is George there, board up? I'm kidding. We're not on here. But I do have suggestions, and that's one of my suggestions. So we are back, and we have a list of things we're going to talk about here, and it is sleep. There's five things we're going to do here in the next segment, or the next 2 segments. We're going to do sleep, border crossings in Canada, zombies versus humans, pee. Really?
That's what you said.
Oh, I said I got to pee.
Oh.
And, you know, there's two bathrooms here, and one says out of order.
So that topic was handled during the break.
And people keep seeing me go into the out of order one and come out. I'm not doing coke in there. What it is literally, like, I'm such a big rock star that in my contract it says I won't do anything anywhere unless I have my own private bathroom. So, you know, my private jet has two bathrooms, and I get one, and all the crew and my friends all get the rest of them. But, yeah, that's my private bathroom. It works. I'm kidding. It doesn't work. I'm just in there, like, I get nervous and have to run away from people and hide. Okay, and
peeing
the other
in
one,
the sink.
The other one is a... Okay, I peed in the sink. And
whoa! You just totally reminded me that I wrote a punk song about peeing in the sink. I completely forgot about that. I can't believe I didn't remember that yesterday when you were peeing in the sink.
And the...
And you really peed in the sink?
The last segment is going to be very serious, and it's about the scalability of physical trust communities. It basically came up as a conversation you and I had yesterday when you walked away from a bunch of silver on your table, and I said, people don't steal stuff at Porkfest? And you said, no. And you said, eventually they will, and we're going to talk about that. All right, so the first thing, sleep. How much have you had?
Who's on first? What's on second?
I'll go.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. So I don't know how many hours of sleep. I dozed in the car on the way here. I dozed.
You dozed?
But I need a lot. Dozed. I dozed in the car.
All right, so you dozed in the car, and what happened?
Yeah. I woke up. Meow.
I ended up here.
Tried to sleep in the car again, but the car wasn't moving, and I figured out that I can only sleep in a car when it's moving.
Huh. And like when it slows down, does it wake you up?
I think so, when it turns and things like that. So I figured out that I'm still kind of like a baby. You know how like babies, you can make babies go to sleep if you put them in the car and you drive and they go to sleep. And I'm just sitting in a parked car. It doesn't work very well.
I have this exact same thing, and I think for me, it's that when I was a baby, my mom used to put me in like the car seat and then put me on the washing machine, like while she was doing laundry, and that like so now anything if the thing is vibrating, I'll fall asleep even if I'm the driver. It's very dangerous.
Me too. Oh my gosh, if I have to drive a long distance, I don't care what I do, how much coffee I drink, how much I crank the AC up, I will fall asleep behind the wheel. And it's so that's just something I can't do. So
we haven't mentioned Nima Vidati, the former co-host on the Freedom Fiends, but he told me with his new baby, the blow dryer set on cool, so it's not hot, in the next room, puts his baby right to sleep. Yep. So, Nikki. Yeah.
How much have you had to drink?
This is my first time drinking all Porkfest.
I'm not judging you.
I've been here since Sunday.
It's a side of you I haven't seen. It's fun.
Oh, this was a volume question, not a frequency question.
Yeah. How many bushels in a hectare?
I failed math.
I think those are different measurements.
All right, moving right along, border travel. You had an interesting, I don't know if it's TSA in Canada, but what's the deal there?
Okay.
You're married to one of them immigrants, aren't you, that's stealing our jobs?
We ain't exactly married.
Oh, because he's still married, huh?
Oh my God.
Has it been 7 years?
I'm not calling you a sinner. We've talked about this before on the show. Your future husband, who you met on the Freedom Fiends, is from one of them states where the state decides that if you try to get a divorce with the crazy one that you were with before, you have to wait a year, right? I'm glad he's laughing, man. Yeah. I don't want him to beat me up after this.
We're both.
He's laughing and he's going to beat me up after this.
We both reside in that state, so we're both having to wait. Actually, I don't have to wait anymore.
So how many more months until you're not living in sin? By the state's definition.
I don't know.
Freedom Fiends with drunken ladies who sin. After this message.
Yeah, I don't know how many more months. I'm done. My year is up.
Still sitting.
So he's still sitting.
Still sitting. Okay, so he's a foreigner that's taking our jobs from Canada,
yeah.
Right?
Although
he's not taking our jobs because he's inventing jobs that don't exist. He's bringing your jobs.
That's right.
Yep. So Canada, you're coming out of Canada.
Yeah, we were crossing the border actually in Vermont.
Yeah.
In Vermont. Yeah.
She doesn't. Yeah.
And I really don't like people in uniforms, funny uniforms with shiny patches at all.
They didn't have a shiny patch to show them.
Actually we did, but we didn't show it because we didn't want to get
Hang on a sec. Has anyone here ever worn one of Davi's shiny badges and shown it to someone with a real shiny badge, and what happened?
You showed it to someone with a real shiny badge?
Okay, you tell me what happened.
I don't know.
I took you on a tangent. This is the Freedom Fiends. All tangents, all the time.
I have seen a video of Pete Eyre showing, it was like a week after these badges came out, and he had it, he was wearing it, and he showed it to one of the Keene police officers, and it was like all the magic went out of her face. It was like... It was like, just a piece of aluminum from China, isn't it?
That reminds me when I had a friend in grade school who, really wanted this trophy for something, spelling or athletics or something. He really wanted to get it, and he didn't get it. He's really upset. And then I was walking with him one time home from school, and there was a trophy shop, and we walked by it. And he was so disappointed to find out you could just go buy trophies, man.
A fun piece of trivia. The shiny badges, natural law enforcement badges, are manufactured by the same company as the El Paso, Texas Sheriff's Department.
In China. They're taking our jobs.
They're taking our badges. So when I ask this guy,
our badges.
They're making our badges.
So like no joke, when I approached this company, I said, hey, can you do this? They said, sure, we'll send you a sample. And they sent me a complete set of El Paso, Texas Sheriff's badges.
God. That's awesome. You should.
Did they have blood?
I've
on
seen
them?
People selling.
No,
police.
these were pre-blood. These were like these were like pre-release.
You can buy police badges at a lot of.
You're gonna say you can buy police blood? I was like, no, dude, they shut down the Silk Road.
But it's not kosher or halal, right? Yeah. You can buy police whistles that only police can hear them. Okay, so no, you can buy real police badges at a lot of gun shows. I've seen guys that have tables of like 20 different, from different cities around the country.
But that's illegal.
Yeah, well, hey man, gun shows, here's what they need. Okay, there's gun shows, and it's kind of like anarchy in a cool way. Well, except for the ATF agents undercover, but you can tell them because they pick up guns like they're picking up a full baby's diaper. They don't hold in with any care or anything. That's how you can tell the feds. But there should be guns and weed shows. I don't think there will be in the next week or
can
two.
Can we call them guns and nugs? Because then they do that nice palindrome thing like the Nine Inch Nails logo.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I'm showing the movie Guns and Weed, The Road to
Freedom. Speaking of spotting feds, this plays into the trust community thing. I think that one of the tests
nice
of...
Nice segue stepping on my announcement of my show tonight. I'm showing my movie... You can segue after that. Start from where you came up. I'm showing my movie Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom that I made with Nima Vadati, who's not here right now because he's being a daddy and raising the next generation of anarchists. But I'm going to wear a one-of-a-kind Freedom Fiends shirt tomorrow with myself and Nima Vadati on it in honor of that he couldn't be here. I'm going to pour... I'm going to pour an ounce of weed on the ground for my fallen homies. He's alive and well. He's just asleep. He's probably been woken up by a baby. He's probably turning on the hairdryer right now to get the baby back to sleep.
It's kind of late.
Yeah, I'm showing Guns of Weed, the Road to Freedom tomorrow at 9 p.m. down there somewhere in the children's petting zoo or the children's... No, it's the children's porcupine. Gun show. The children's gun show. That building. All right, so segue, brother.
I'm in on your segue.
So, like, there's this, like, intense trust at Porkfest, right?
I don't trust you.
You don't trust me?
No, I trust you.
So this came up because, like, I'm selling merchandise, right? And when it's time to go to lunch, I just leave the table, right? Like, valuable merchandise, silver, you know, But are you... You can pick your friends, but you can't pick your friends' nose.
I was showing you I trusted you, right?
Unless they're asleep.
Hey, I have an idea. There's a bunch of hippies sleeping in the back here, like ones that didn't bring a pup tent or anything, which is cool. It's all good. But I was thinking of like reverse robbing them, like putting fiends' button backs in their pockets while in their sleeping pockets.
So what I'm getting at is the philosophy of property rights, or propertarians, mm-hmm. is your term. It's so intense at Porkfest.
Did I just give hippies permission to sleep in a place that I don't own? I think I did.
Maybe.
Man, I'm a dick.
Has Rogers kicked them out?
No, man, it's all good.
Yeah, for real.
It's all good. You know, you gotta anyway, go on, man.
So, like, this just happens, right? Like, there's no,
what happens, Davi?
Apparently the host of the show picks co-host noses is what happens.
I'm gonna give myself a timeout.
I think we're kicking him off the show. Is he gonna go pee in the sink? Okay. So there's this intense trust, and I think planking is horizontally.
Yeah.
On the floor.
Does anybody know what he's doing?
He's in a timeout. Vertically.
He's got his nose in the corner.
He put himself in a timeout.
It's a recursive self timeout.
What you do when you don't have a corner that's available, you have to put it in the door.
There's plenty of corners in this room.
You could just move the broom right there.
Let's do Blair Witch if I have
This is like, you realize radio doesn't work as physical comedy? Okay, so there's an intense trust because we all know that we're propertarians, and we all know that if you're at this convention, you're on somewhere on the spectrum of liberty, and even if you're still anarchist, you still, like, theft is like one of the cardinal sins of libertarianism, right? So when I go to lunch, I just leave my stuff out on the table, and nothing has ever happened, although there have been isolated incidents, I understand.
There's a bucket of money in this room that's been in here for 4 days and no one's touched it. That wouldn't happen anywhere I've ever been.
Is it sticky?
There's a bucket of money?
Yeah, it's right up there. It's the Rich Paul Defense Fund. It's got like $40.
Nice.
All right.
For those of
Hallelujah.
So we're going to go to a break, and we're going to make some money for Rich Paul, whose bucket of money has been sitting in here raising money for his legal defense fund. And I'll tell you all about the breakdown of trust when we get back.
Please don't put Bitcoin in that.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
This is the Central Scrutinizer. I steal your labor by force through taxation.
My job is to spy on you and keep you from hearing things like the Freedom Fiends. I especially do not want you to
torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to keep them drone-proof. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives.
I'm a dog person.
This is the Freedom Fiends, and physical comedy doesn't work on radio, but that might have if we made it about a fourth as long as that. And Davi is going to do the last 5 minute segment talking about the problem. He's trying to solve a problem that doesn't even exist yet. like the government.
Well, I'm not trying. This is not a prescriptive thing. This is a preemptive thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
So right now we have this great, like, trusting community, right? And so I walk away from my table. I leave my merchandise out on the table. I actually put out a sign today that said, Bitcoin is a trustless system, but I trust you. Shop all you want. And there was a QR code, and so you could send me Bitcoin while I'm gone. And I'll go out to lunch, and I'll get a little bling on my phone. Oh, I guess someone bought a T-shirt or something.
Do you get a little endorphin rush every time you...
Oh, it's fantastic. I do, yeah. Too, man. And you know what it is? I really like helping people, and I really like it when people like my ideas.
Every time someone orders buttons, whether DJ's awake or not, I go, button!
Yeah. So this is the thing. So this is a problem of scalability. Like, it works on a small scale, but then when a festival grows to a size, or a community grows to a size where it's no longer sustainable, I don't know what that size is, but it's already happening in Bitcoin. Like, early Bitcoin events that were not explicitly libertarian, they were like Park Fest. I felt comfortable leaving things out on my table. But like in Austin, Texas, like a few months ago, there was this, like, somebody hacked a bunch of people's phones and stole a bunch of Bitcoin. Somebody stole a banner off our table. So like the scalability of Bitcoin conferences has already happened. They're like, those are no longer a trust community. So I don't know what the solution is. I guess I just would rather that people have caution before they have property loss. You know what I mean? But I mean, obviously it's philosophically consistent. So I guess what I'm saying is, you know, the Fed by the guy who's already locked his door or something, you know what I mean? Because they have a paranoid attitude anyway. So if they don't appear to be trusting, then... I don't know what the solution is, but you know what I'm talking about?
I lock everything. And yeah. Also, I'm armed, but I'm not open carrying. It's in a bag. So I won't leave this bag anywhere, just because it's more of a gun safety issue than a property issue. I don't want some drunk idiot or some kid picking it up, thinking it's a toy, and pulling the trigger. Here's why. I've been someone at my house way before I was into guns, picked up a loaded gun, thought it was a toy, cocked it, shot the floor, it ricocheted, went through a lady's ass and came out her leg.
Oh my
God. It was really, really, really a bad thing. I was upstairs. I called down 911. The guy who owned the gun, the guy who shot the gun, spent 12 hours in a police station being interrogated. They kept the gun, and the guy who pulled the trigger ended up paying all the medical bills, but it was a really, really horrible thing. That was my friend. Her name's Nikki. She plays bass with the techno band BT, if you've ever heard of them. Do you know Nikki?
Yeah.
You know Nikki?
BT.
If you ever meet Nikki, tell her Michael Dean said to ask her about the time she got shot. She'll tell you. So, yeah, I don't leave guns around.
You know, this is also an artifact of I'm an old school burner. Like, I used to go to Burning Man, like, 10, maybe 12 years ago.
That's so hip, dude.
And even then, no. Like, I'm not one of the cool kids who was in on it while it was early. Like,
when
even
it was a bonfire in San Francisco at the beach.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So I know the story about Paul. But I'm saying, like, when I used to go to burn, people were already complaining about it being so corporate and being
be cool.
So.
Yeah, you know what?
But now it's, like, 10 times the size of when I used to go.
Do you think that in a couple years, people at Pork Fest be like, oh, I went here back when it was cool?
Yeah, I think so.
Well,
and I'm the same guy. I'm the guy who came to Pork Fest 10.
That's,
you know?
I'm not saying that is going to happen. It could happen. That's an issue with organized things that grow. And the answer is really the splinter group. There's a thing in AA. All you need to start a new AA meeting is a resentment and a coffee pot. All you need to start your new Liberty Fest is a resentment and a little piece of land somewhere.
I'm not saying this has happened to Liberty, to Pork Fest, or to Liberty Forum.
It's great.
I'm just, I'm saying I love it and I would hate to see it go, but I like, it's like I'm already ready to grieve, you know?
This place is so cool, we're grieving if it's ever not. Yeah. We're pre-grieving. Well, you know, I think that there's probably some hippie parable about that, about, hey, man, don't sweat the petty stuff, pet the sweaty stuff. A problem is just an opportunity you haven't met. Here's an opportunity. Paying kids to guard stuff. Give a kid a gun. Give a kid a shotgun.
Pay kids to sell stuff, man. Yeah. I make a fortune that way.
Yeah, but then they hit puberty and they don't want to sell stuff for you anymore.
Yeah, that's a problem.
All right, it's been one of the best Freedom Fiends ever. Let's get a big worms.
Worms!
Thank you. Good night. Worms. Journalism.
HolisticRevolution.com.